Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Did you hear that this morning? Singing of that with all the saints in heaven and all the heavenly host as well. Praising our Lord Christ for his resurrection from the grave. Common phrase found on tombstones in past literature is rest in peace. R.I.P. for short, or RIP. While some in the past may have viewed this phrase as maybe flippant or disrespectful of the dead, it actually carries significant meaning for the Christian. As Christians, we believe that when we die, our soul goes immediately to be with the Lord, following along with what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5, that we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. But while our soul departs, the body stays here. And so we say of the body that remains on earth that it is resting in peace. And that is indeed a nice thought to have of all of our loved ones who have died in the faith. They rest in peace. More recently, perhaps, another phrase has been added by Christians to this phrase, rest in peace. And it is rise in glory. What this does is acknowledges the Christian's belief, as patterned by the Bible itself, that death is not the end. The final resting place of the Christian's body is not here, left in the earth. The final state of the Christian is not that of separation of soul from body. Rather, the Christian still anticipates, even in death, while at rest, his and her own rise in glory that will indeed occur. And that glorious rising from death to life will occur at last on the last day when the Lord Jesus returns in splendid glory. And the Christian has every certainty that they too will rise in glory, all because of that great day. The resurrection of our Lord is of utmost importance for the church and its life here on earth. It is the festival day honored most highly as the earliest Christian celebration in the church's history. And you and I love this celebration of Easter because of the meaning that we know that it holds. We get to sing loud and proud the Alleluias. We get to hear the special music, see the special decorations, and rejoice. Christ Jesus has risen from the dead. He lives. He lives. He is risen. He's risen, Christ Jesus the Lord. He opened death's prison, the incarnate true word, which we just sung a few moments ago. Jesus is victorious over death and the grave, triumphant, conquering over these things. God the Father has shown his great pleasure in the work of his Son and his death on the cross by raising him up from the dead. Because Jesus lives, you too will live. Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. Unforgettable words from St. Paul, Romans chapter 6. Early on that first Easter morning. The women went somberly to the tomb to do their work of anointing the dead body of their beloved Jesus. That is what they went there to find, a corpse. No life, no breath, no warmth, and certainly no glory. That sullenness was first rattled when they discovered that the tomb was open. Somberness continued to flee when angels appeared at the tomb. And for Mary Magdalene, that austerity dissipated into full-on joy when she'd recognized the gardener before her as her own Jesus, clinging desperately to his feet. There Jesus stood, as real can be, yet different. He was glorious. He was beautiful, as best the word can describe. He was triumphant over death and the grave, unlike any who had ever gone before. There Jesus stood, fully alive, as his own words incarnate, the resurrection and the life. As it went for Jesus on that first day of the new week of creation, so it will go for you on the last day of this old week, the old creation. Your long dead bodies will at last rise up from their graves, having heard the voice of Jesus saying to you, as he had once said to Lazarus, "Come forth." The trumpet blast on that last day will awaken all from their deathly slumber. And you will be awakened not to this old life, but to new life, transformed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, even as Jesus first was. And you will put off the mortal, and you shall put on immortality. Sin and death, the things of this world, the pain and the suffering, they will quickly fade away. The righteousness, the glory of Christ risen from the dead will take over instead and dominate your identity and your view of all things forevermore. And boy, do you and I so desperately need this to be true. And it is, all of it. For you and I continue on here in this life as we'll leave once again this sacred hall, going back into this world, our sinful nature, still as enemies of God, sinners through and through to our core. No matter how hard you try, no matter what you do, you just cannot kick the habit of your sin. It sticks to you stronger than any stamp to a letter. Your best efforts still end in failure as you covet what is not yours, as you scheme against your enemies, as you place your trust in men, in yourselves, rather than in God. The answer for you, for me, is not to try harder, though you may. The answer for you and me is not to give up, though you might. The answer, rather, is to stand face to face with your sin. Confess it, acknowledge it, own it before God, and repent. By God's grace given to you in baptism, turn away from sin. Such turning can only come when you have already been turned to Jesus. Behold again his cross. Behold again the empty tomb. what we deserve, what we only deserve, what we have earned, is God's punishment, His hatred, His rejection. But He has shown mercy. He does not give you what you deserve. Instead, He has given that to Jesus, the one who did not deserve it at all. And He did so on the cross. What He has given to you instead, because of Jesus on the cross, is grace. Love, undeserved. And He showers this love upon you as His own blessed saints, His righteous ones in faith. Almighty God, of all creation, loves you, each and every one of you, so very much that He gave His only begotten Son to die on the cross for you. And He raised Him up from the dead, all so that you could finally be free from the burden of your sin, the curse of your sin, which you cannot kick, to separate you finally from your rags, your filth, your sin, your shame, your death. God Almighty has put you to death with His own dear Son on the cross. And He has raised you up again to new life with His Son in eternal and great glory. And while you cannot see it, just by looking with your earthly eyes, that glory is yours even now. God wants you to know that, to trust in that, to enjoy that, and to live as though it were true, because it is. For that is what it means to be a people that is holy to God, to be part of His kingdom, heirs of His inheritance, to be priests in His royal priesthood. You have all the benefits of Christ's cross and of the empty tomb with you here and now. And you take them with you into the world, back to your vocations as you leave this place. And all of this is already yours, because Christ is already yours. You belong to Him, and He belongs to you. What He has, you have. His glory is your glory. So on this day, rise in glory. For you have been raised in glory in Jesus. You are baptized into His precious name by His command, where He has raised you up in glory from death. You are fed His body and His blood in His holy supper, where you are further clothed in His glory to cover over your sin. All of this, so that finally, on that last day, you will receive the crown of full glory. It's waiting for you. All so that you can receive the fullness of Christ's great glory on that last day. Triumphant day. Rise in glory. For Christ has been raised in glory first. He will never taste death again. And as it goes for Jesus by your baptism in His name, so it goes for you, His own dear child. For Christ is risen in glory, and you will be too. Amen. A peace that does pass all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, the one raised from death to life.